I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're in Hiwassee or you're online or you're here with us in Morganton, Georgia, I'm so glad that you're here. My name is Philip, and I'm the pastor here at Vertical Church. On behalf of our leadership and our staff and church, welcome to Vertical. We already believe God's moving today, and we're praying that he continues to speak into your life. It's what we've been praying and seeking for today, that God will move in your life. And even if you showed up and you don't really know if that can happen or not, I encourage you, just even right now, say, God, I just ask you to speak to me. God, I ask you to reveal yourself to me. Man, because you know what we need? We need Jesus. I promise you, you can call the name of Pastor Phil all day long, and it will do zero for your life. But you can call the name of Jesus, and it can change your life. And so I pray that we put our attention and focus there. And one of the ways we're going to do that is by getting into the Bible. We believe here at Vertical, the Bible applies to our life. It's really hard to apply the Bible if we don't know the Bible, though. So we're going to go through Isaiah 58 today. If you want to turn there in your Bible app, or if you brought your Bible, Isaiah 58, we're going to put it up on the screen as well, because we believe the Bible's alive and active, can speak right into our life. So we're going to put it on the screen as well. We're in a series called Set the Tone. Set the Tone. And it's at this new year, some of you may start resolutions. I was reading a statistic that like over 50% of people don't even bother setting resolutions now. As humanity, we have just given up at this point. We know how it's going to go. I will say, I go to the gym. I've seen far less people, you know, the kind of the January people. I respect y'all if you show up. We'd love for you to stay with us the whole time. We're there all year long. It's very powerful. It's great. But we've seen like very few people even just join the gym. Usually, all of y'all show up in January, you hog all the equipment, and then eventually we pray for you to leave. But and you do. So, but we haven't even seen y'all. So I will say, we want you to come back. We'd love to see you. The title of the message is Rebuilding is Refreshing. Rebuilding is Refreshing. And I want to ask, you know, if you had to say, just your opinion, do you think God is excited about the way you're living your life right now? Do you think God's excited? Like, do you think he's up in the throne room of heaven and he is pumped at the way you're living life right now? And some of you may say yes. And if you are, I'm excited for you. I'm pumped for you. Some of you, though, may be in church because you're like, I don't know that the way I'm living my life is okay. I don't know that he's very excited about that. And I want to encourage you today, there's hope. There's hope. If you have come here looking for hope, I have good news today that that can change. That doesn't have to be your answer. The Bible actually outlines very clearly for how we can live a life that actually excites God. And I don't know that we think about that sometimes, but I think it's a great time at the beginning of the year for us to set the tone. In order for us to set the tone, sometimes we got to look at the foundation. Because you can have a really good resolution or a really good thing you want to do in life, but if it's built on a really faulty foundation, it's not going to last. And so let's get on the same page with some foundational things. And so that way the stuff we build, it lasts. It's good. It does help us. And so Isaiah 58 and verse 1 says, shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout out loud. Don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins. Yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want me to be near. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We've been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice. I'll tell you why, I respond. It's because you're fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. And one of the things that we're really pushing at this church is to pray and to fast. And in these times, in this culture, fasting was a really big deal. Everybody knew fasting and praying in Jewish culture, okay? Fasting and praying would be to repent of our ways, to try to encounter God, to align ourselves with the ways of God. And if you don't know what fasting is, it's basically giving up of your meals, giving up of your food, seeking God through prayer and reading of the scripture. And over time, that's kind of not become a way of life. I mean, you may see that because, you know, we have a buffet on every corner. It's like church is number one on what's on a corner, and a buffet's right next to it, okay? I don't know that our society's overly interested in the fasting way of life, but in this society, fasting was very common. Everybody would know what they're talking about when it came to fasting. It's part of who they are in their society. And God's saying, all of you guys are doing the right things, and it doesn't faze me. Did you see there? They went to church every day. Every day. Some of y'all are like, I don't even know I can get there one day. Maybe one day. Praise God for one day, but every day. And God says, that doesn't faze me. They pray and fast. And some of you are like, I'm just trying to keep up with the Bible reading plan this year. It keeps coming and coming. And God would say, that doesn't faze me. And you go, well, what does that even mean? I'm doing all the right things. And then like they say, God, you seem unimpressed. God, you seem unimpressed with what we're doing. You don't even seem to notice what we're doing. And here's the thing. It's because religious people are trying to be good and celebrated for it. Religious people are trying to be good and celebrated for it. You may write that down. I don't have the Twitter, but that could even be tweeted. Praise God. Religious people are trying to be good and celebrated for it. But a follower of Jesus is wanting less of themselves and to be more like Jesus. A follower of Jesus is wanting less of themselves and to be more like Jesus. And as we head into this year, that's a very fine line. I mean, all of you are here at church today. You may have noticed that. You look around and go, it did happen. Despite the rain, praise God, I'm here. Yes, let's give it up. Praise, yes. Fantastic. But the question is, now that you're here, whether you're online or in Hiawassee or Morrington, has it fazed God? Has it fazed God? Isaiah 58 would say, if you've shown up here and you kind of want to be celebrated for it, you're like, God, look what I'm doing. I'm doing the right thing. He's like, I'm unfazed. And I think as we go into a new year, we've got to ask ourselves, have we started doing the right things, but God doesn't pay any attention anymore? How are we doing the right things, but God doesn't even pay any attention anymore? Because if we do all the right things, but we go, God, I want you to applaud me. Look at me. I'm like your star player. I'm the Michael Jordan of religious people. Praise God. Caleb talked to us a couple months ago. Y'all remember Caleb? Did a phenomenal job. The only thing that I would say was borderline heresy was he tried to tell us Kobe Bryant was the greatest of all time. Caleb, I love you, brother, but that wasn't even close, man. I don't know. That's definitely not in the Old or New Testament. I don't know where you're reading that. It was Michael Jordan. But look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, what good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourself with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? Man, that's a little harsh. That's a little hard. Some of you are like, this is our beginning of the year message. I need like encouragement. I need some good news. I'm getting there, people. Be patient. Steady now. Some of you are like, this is why I don't read the Old Testament. Well, we should. We should read the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. But he says, do you really think all this is going to please me? The coming to church every day, the praying, the fasting, when really you just want me to notice how good you are. God's like, I'm unfazed. I'm unfazed by this religious act and motions that you're going through. And then the question for us would have to be, man, is that me? Have I gotten to the point where I'm just going through all the right religious motions, but I don't treat people very well? I don't treat people very well. Have you asked, like, whether you showed up today or not, is it pleasing to God? Let me put it to you this way. How you treat people at restaurants, is it pleasing to God? I worked in a restaurant for a long time, and I can tell you, some of y'all not pleasing to God on how you treat people. I can tell you, some of you people driving 10 miles per hour under the speed limit in the left lane, you are causing me to not be pleasing to God, and I need you to stop. I want to introduce you to my good friend, and you'll love this good friend of mine, the right lane. The right lane will be so good to you. The right lane wants to love you. The left lane is not for you. You need to break up. And I'll tell you, as I'm driving along, I've never wanted Mario Kart to be more real in life. Just take out some turtles and just send you careening off the road. It's not healthy, but it's there. Okay? another reason you cannot call on the name of Pastor Phil, because Pastor Phil, you're like, Pastor Phil, save me. Pastor Phil's in the left lane trying to blow people off the road, okay? Pastor Phil cannot save you. And he has nothing to blow you off the road, thank goodness. That's not real, but I have prayed for it before. And it's the way you're living your life pleasing to God, because we can do all the right things all day long, but if it's not pleasing to God, God says, I'm unfazed. I'm unfazed by this. And I mean, is that where the American church has kind of gotten? We've kind of figured out how to do all the right things, but maybe we have no power behind it because we're just going through religious motions. We're like, God, look at all the right things I've figured out to do. And we want a standing ovation from God, and we've really just put him to sleep on the throne. Where are we at as an American church across this nation? Have we really aligned ourselves with the ways of God? Our Isaiah 58 still kind of speaking to us a little bit, that we've figured out all the religious motions to be applauded and celebrated, but we've not actually aligned ourselves with the ways of God. If you come to church with a clear focus of wanting to connect with God. When we showed up today, whether you're in Hiawassee or online or here, did you show up and you go, more than anything, if nothing else happens, I want to encounter God. I want him to speak to me. I want him to lead me. I want him to tell me the ways I'm not living right so that I can repent and confess my ways and more align myself with God. Because that's what God wants from us. And so here's the thing, is I think we read Isaiah 58 and we're like, man, this sounds really harsh. This sounds really difficult. And I think we're getting a little bit as a society where if someone just tells us maybe something that's not right, we get so offended. We get so offended by God by telling us where we don't maybe align with him. But I think God's trying to love us in Isaiah 58. In Isaiah 58, we're going to keep reading. God not only tells us maybe where we're not aligning with him, but then he tells us exactly what he's looking for. That's what a loving father would do. Say, this isn't right, but I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm looking for. And then watch what he'll do later on these verses. He'll tell us how he's going to bless us if we do align with him. He'll outline it all for us. So look here at Isaiah 58, verse 6. No, this is the kind of fasting that I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will heal quickly. Your godliness will lead you forward and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. And then you will call, and the Lord will answer you. Yes, I'm here. He will quickly reply. If I got to come around and talk to every last one of you, and I asked, do you want your wounds to heal quickly? Do you want the Lord and your godliness to lead you? Do you want God to protect all around you? Do you want to pray and God quickly answers you? I think if I got to talk to every last one of you, you'd be like, of course, Philip. Of course. We like the sound of what God just outlined and all of that. If you don't want that, I don't know how to help you. Because, man, I want that. I want my wounds to heal quickly. I want to be able to pray and God responds quickly. I want godliness to lead my life. I want the Lord to protect my life. And God says, I'm going to tell you exactly how that to happen. And we're all like, fantastic. What do we need to do? And God says, don't live your life for yourself. Live it for people around you. Pray, fast, give of yourself. See, religious people, they say, God, give me. Religious people say, God, give me. But followers of Jesus say, God, give of me. God, give of me. See, there's times when we don't treat people very well around us. It's because our world has become small and it's me-focused. And God says, if you don't want your wounds to heal quickly, if you don't want me to respond when you're praying, if you don't want me to watch over you, if you don't want godliness to lead your life, he says, you can do one thing and make sure none of that happens for you. And he says, live your life for yourself. Be me-focused. as we head into this year is the tone that we're going to set. I want to give of myself for other people. I want to give of myself for other people. I want to help those who are in need. I want to break chains. I want to see God set people free. I want to see God meet physical and spiritual needs. And most of us, I think, will say, yeah, we want to do that. But the reason we don't really step into it, if we're honest, is it's inconvenient. It's inconvenient. One of the things that's plaguing the American church so much is we're allergic to inconvenience. We're allergic to inconvenience. Yeah, no, I'm more than willing to help somebody if it can fit on my schedule, and my schedule's full, but I think this year I may be able to fit in May 22nd from 3 to 5, I can go serve. Praise God. Mark me down. I'm going to get Isaiah 58 blessings for that. Actually, I probably need to put it on social media. I need to hire a photographer. Mark these bad boys down. Put that out there. If it's not on social media, God most certainly will not bless me. No. He says, man, if you're not willing to give of yourself, you're not going to receive any of this. But the problem with that is it's so messy. It's so inconvenient. Going to help others in need breaks up our routine, breaks up our schedule. If you're doing the Bible reading plan with us, didn't we just read about this? It happens where a guy's possessed by a demon. They try to chain him. They throw him out of town. They try to just get him away from society because his problems spiritually are so much of a bother to everyone. They cannot contain him, though. He breaks free the chains. They can't slow him down. Jesus shows up and casts the demon out. It's actually many. Jesus asks the name. He says, my name's Legion. There's many. And they say, don't throw us into the abyss. Throw us into the pigs. Cast us out of this guy, but throw us into the pigs. And Jesus says, okay. Well, the pigs all run off a cliff because demon possession isn't fun. You know what the townspeople do? They go out to Jesus and they beg him to leave. This guy, they couldn't contain. They couldn't chain. He was causing all these problems. Jesus heals him and sets him free. But you know what? When the move of God happens, it was inconvenient to people. And they begged Jesus to leave. But the guy who gets set free, he begs to go with Jesus. He begs Jesus, let me follow you. Let me go with you. And Jesus says, no, you need to stay here. You need to work with the people that are begging me to leave. What's more likely today? For you to beg the service end so that you can get to lunch, or you beg the service to not end because the presence of God is moving? What's more likely? See, there's coming a day at this church. I'll go ahead and tell you, you can mark it down in your notes. There's coming a day at Vertical where people will willingly show up for a 3-hour-long worship service. There's coming a day that's going to happen. We're just going to open our doors. Whoever wants to show up, whoever wants to beg of the presence of God to come and change them, make them more like Jesus, we're just going to open the door. And we're just going to go. Man, I don't know how long it's going to go. But we're just going to stay until the presence of God moves and changes. And I know it'll be inconvenient. You'll have to sacrifice. You'll have to change around your schedule. But there's coming a day at this church where that's what we're going to beg for. But it's going to be inconvenient. And that's what's plaguing the American church so much is we don't want to be inconvenienced. We don't want to sacrifice for anything. We don't want to give up our schedule. We don't want to break our routine. I think the American church has begged Jesus to leave us alone so we can keep our righteous religious ways. And then he did. But by the grace of God, what's so amazing is we can beg and petition for him to come back. And Isaiah 58 says he will. Isaiah 58 says he will. I think sometimes I get labeled for being this helpless, hopeful person, this belief that God can bring revival and that humanity can change. And some of you watching CNN and Fox News and go, clearly Philip's not watching the news. We've gone to hell in a handbasket. We're not going to hell in a handbasket. We're there. We have a large handbasket. It's in hell. We're losing the handbasket because it's on fire. Philip, if you just watched the news, you'd realize it's all gone to hell. And I go, clearly you've not read Isaiah 58. I don't need to watch the news to figure out where the world's going. I need to read the Bible to know what God can do with the world that's gotten there. Watch this. We're going to read some verses and it's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind. It's the Old Testament too. And I know you may not believe me, but watch what happens here. It continues in verse 9. It says, remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as the noon. It says, the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you're dry, restoring your strength. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. See, Isaiah 58 that starts off so cynical, so difficult, so harsh, it sounds like Isaiah 58 gets to the point where it says darkness does not intimidate the Lord. He says, I can make darkness be like it's noon outside. I don't cower to darkness. God looks at it and says, if you'll do these things, you'll be called a rebuilder of walls, restorer of homes. See what happened in the Old Testament in these times when they would come conquer a city, they would go out and tear all the walls of the city down so they couldn't defend themselves. It was symbolic. If they could rebuild the walls, it would mean they're back. It would mean they're back. In Old Testament here in Isaiah 58, he's saying you can look at the broken down walls. You can think it's all gone to hell with a handbasket. It's all hopeless. Isaiah 58 says, I am the Lord and I am the one who can rebuild walls. See what happens sometimes in humanity is we look and we get told about all the wicked things that are happening. It's all going, it's all falling apart, Philip. If you read the whole Bible, it all gets really bad. I know it gets really bad, but I know the Bible also, that Isaiah 58 says, if you'll pray, if you'll fast, if you'll seek God, if you'll align with his ways and not our ways, if we'll do it to seek him, if we'll help those in need, if we'll give of ourselves, if we'll look to pour ourselves out for his creation, his humanity, he says, I'll make darkness like it's noon. I'll make you a rebuilder of walls, restorer of homes. Our situation in this country and world is not hopeless, and it's not even close. But what stands between us and the noonday and darkness, what stands between us and rebuilding of walls is sacrifice and inconvenience. Sacrifice and inconvenience is the bridge between us and that happening in our lives. See, a Jewish person in this culture would come if they would talk to us today, and they'd hear us say things like, oh my gosh, this country, it's so sinful, it's so wicked. Look at these people. If you're a little bit older, you go, oh my gosh, look at these young people. They're so wicked. If you're younger, you look at the older generation and go, oh my gosh, they're so out of touch. They're not serving God. They're so dry, this or that. And we start getting this multi-generational bickering between us, and we start thinking it's everybody else's fault and nothing's going to change. And the world's the worst it's ever have been, which is the most bizarre thing I've ever heard because I've read the book of Genesis. And humanity was really good at sin really early on. Had things like Sodom and Gomorrah happen where God wiped the city off the planet. Had things happen like the flood where he just wiped out the whole planet and started over, okay? They were pretty good at sin back then. But yes, right now we're the worst it's ever been. All of that can go on and God is not flinching one bit. He doesn't look at the darkness and go, it's gotten so out of hand, I can't stop that. No, he looks down at his children and go, why aren't you doing anything about it? A Jewish person would hear us complain about all this going on. Our nation is so wicked. And he would ask, well, are you going to fast about it? Are you going to pray? Are you going to ask God to do anything? Because that's what they would do in the situation. If they became aware of their sin, that's how they would respond in the society. And I think the American church would go, oh, no. No, 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 no. I'm not going to pray, or I'm not going to fast, or I'm not going to look at anything, but it is bad. It is bad out there. And I'm going to talk about how bad it is over my Waffle House biscuit and hash browns. It's bad out there. You know, I'm going to get together with lunch, and I'm going to talk to people about how bad it is, and I'm going to sip my coffee and eat my dessert and live it up. And the Jewish person would go, then I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear from you anymore. If you know how bad it is and you're not willing to do anything, I don't want to hear about it. And that's how we've gotten as a nation. We show up every 4 years, we tell God how bad it's gotten, and we pray about our political candidates as a nation, and we do nothing else. We may even quote 2 Chronicles a little bit. If God will heal our land, he'll pray for us, and he'll give us the politicians we want. But we can't be inconvenienced to pray and fast consistently. We can't have any sacrifice of what's required to give of ourselves to help those in need. See, the enemy's done such a good job of helping Christians think the enemy is other people. The enemy has done a magical job of helping Christians see other people as the enemy. The problem is that's not biblical. Other people are God's creation. And God looked at his creation, how wicked we were, and sent his son Jesus to build a bridge so that we wouldn't have to stay there. Our one hope. The plan was never we were going to be good enough. We could save ourselves. Our one hope was Jesus. Isaiah 58 just said, if we'll pray fast, align ourselves with the ways of God, what did he say about darkness? I'll make it like the noonday. You know what Christians' response should be nowadays? When we look at society and doesn't align with the ways of God, we should look at society, God's creation, his humanity, and we should say, over our dead body will darkness move. Over our dead body. Darkness, if you're going to get to God's creation that's going away from him, if you're going to get there, you're going to have to step over my dead body. Because I will pray, I will fast, I will seek God, I will align myself, I will sacrifice, I will look and say, God, give of me to change what's going on. I'll help those impressed. I'll sacrifice my needs. I'll look to meet the needs of others. God, I'll look for you to move because darkness can become like the noonday. And that's how we should be as a church. When some Christian wants to come complain to us about how bad it's getting, our response should be Isaiah 58. I hear you. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Because if you're not willing to pray, if you're not willing to fast, if you're not willing to sacrifice, I don't want to hear about it anymore. Because Isaiah 58 says God sees what's going on in this world and has no problem with changing it. But we seem to if we're not willing to be inconvenienced. This coming year, what is the tone you are going to set? Is this year the tone you set? I'm going to see the noonday hit darkness this year. This year, I'm going to be a rebuilder of walls. This year, I'm going to see houses restored. This year, I will lay down my life in sacrifice and inconvenience. I will pray. I will fast. I'll look to align myself with the ways of God and pray he changes things. I'll start to believe in faith that Isaiah 58 can happen. And he says things like, we're going to be blessed for that. Remember, he said our wounds are going to heal. Godliness will lead us. That he'll respond to our prayers quickly. That his power, his presence will protect us. Those are all the added benefits of aligning ourselves with the ways of God. Of willing to give of ourselves for other people. It's not just that he'll change the nation and the world and darkness will become like noonday. Those are blessings we receive. So what is the tone you want to set? What's the tone you want to set? It may be inconvenient. I don't know. I've ever seen a Christ follower that didn't have to sacrifice. But I'm here to tell you, Isaiah 58 says it is so worth it. It's so worth it. You say, Philip, just this church in North Georgia, we're 6 years old, and what we can do? I don't think God's looking down and going, I need big churches to do this if anything's going to happen. I need the mega churches to do this if this is going to happen. I need the wealthy people of America to do this for this to happen. I need the people with the most talents to do this and then it's going to happen. I need those with the most influence to do this and then it's going to happen. I don't see any of that in Isaiah 58. Did you? All I saw in Isaiah 58 was, who are the people willing to be devoted? Who are the people willing to be devoted? And church, we can do that. We can do that. And it doesn't matter how many people we have. It doesn't matter what kind of finances we have. It doesn't matter our location. It doesn't matter whether we have multi-campuses or not. what defines this church as being successful is, are we devoted to the ways of God or not? You want to see Union County change, and I believe it will, in case you're wondering. I've not given up my hope after reading Isaiah 58. I'm more entrenched in my position than I ever have been. We don't have enough churches in Union County, our Towns County, our North Georgia, or this country for that matter, to handle revival if God moves. We don't have it. And it'll blow your mind, because you're like, the only thing we have more of than possibly buffets and restaurants and all of that is churches. We don't have the room. We don't have the room. This pro-church, this pro-Bible-believing church, this thing that we're praying for, it's why. Vertical church cannot physically contain a move of God in North Georgia. We don't have the space. We need other churches to open their doors and do the same. We need that to happen, because when a move of God comes, we don't have the space. And it'll be like that. It'll blow your mind. And it's coming if we're willing to sacrifice and be inconvenienced. That's why I keep bringing up pray and fast, be in the Bible. We're like, Philip, I've heard all that. Great, then why aren't we doing it? Why aren't we submitting to God? You're like, Philip, I don't know about that. I mean, is it really not? You know how many people we've got signed up to pray and fast right now? It's about 30. About 30 people have signed up to pray and fast this coming year, which is fantastic, by the way. 30 is a lot more than zero. But even though we're a small church, we average about 200 plus people on a Sunday between locations. Doesn't even count online. It means less than 20 of us are willing to do it. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, the threshold we've set for pray and fasting is about the lowest bar possible. We're asking for one day a week and one meal on that day. And so I want to encourage you, what tone are you going to set this year? What tone are you going to set? Are you someone that's willing to sacrifice and be inconvenienced because you believe that even the darkness around us can be like the noonday? You want to set the tone to become a rebuilder of walls, a restorer of homes. That sounds like someone with influence. That sounds like a leader. And that's what you're called to be. And I believe Isaiah 58 calls us in this day and age to not give up. Do not bow down to society. Do not believe darkness has won. It can become like the noonday. I want to close out with just a few more verses, but I want it to be the New Testament. I want to look at Matthew 7. Matthew 7. And as we move forward, it's so important for this whole series. Matthew 7. And it says this in verse 24. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. It's like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. What we build everything else on moving forward matters. Is our foundation, the very core of who we are as people, aligned with the ways of God? Or has the enemy snuck into our lives and we have become religious people? And man, that can happen to any of us. That can happen to me. That can happen to you. It's why we've got to pray and fast and ask God, God, reveal anything to me that's not of you. Reveal to me if my ways are not aligned with your ways. If they're not, help me. I'm here to tell you the most amazing thing about the grace of God is you could have absolutely butchered everything in your life, and the grace of God says today is a great day for that to change. The grace of God is so amazing because even if you're like, man, I haven't done things right, the grace of God does not say you need to go be good enough and then come back and ask for help. You don't need to go earn it or prove yourself or gain some certain title. The grace of God says right now, you can say, I've not done things right, but I want that to change. And the grace of God says, it starts right now. There's no waiting. There's no earning it. There's no waiting on us to prove it. The grace of God says right now is the best time to change. And it's available. That's good news. That's good news. But it also means there is a bit of a responsibility. Are we willing to be inconvenienced? Are we willing to sacrifice to set the tone that this year we want to rebuild the walls? We want to restore homes. We want noonday instead of darkness. the worship team wants to come back up. I'm going to go over four things on how to build a solid foundation this year. It's not going to be very long. It's going to be four things, and honestly, I don't think any of it should really surprise you, but it'll help you focus. Get down to the basics this coming year. Four things. And the first thing is we've got to read the Bible. Got to read the Bible. And I'm here to tell you, reading through the Bible consistently absolutely will be an inconvenience. Because your flesh will try to give you plenty of reasons and other things to do. I promise you, start trying to read the Bible consistently, and I promise you, your flesh is going to start providing other things for you to do, other opportunities. The enemy will try to show you reading the Bible is inconvenient. I promise you it will happen if you try to read the Bible consistently. But if you want a solid foundation, you have to know the Bible. And I'm here to tell you, even as a pastor and Bible teacher, just me teaching on Sunday morning is not enough for you. It's not. If you want to be strong, if you want to be a rebuilder of walls, if you want to restore homes, just listening to me on a Sunday morning is not going to be enough. You have to read the Bible. And I'm here to tell you, especially young people, y'all, if you don't know, being a Christ follower at this age, younger people, it is the hardest they've ever had it. Because right now in front of them, disposable information from everywhere. Information is everywhere. It's some of the best stuff. You can have some of the best Bible teaching right at your fingertips. It's incredible. But also at your fingertips can be some of the most heretical teachings that are said in the most sly, slick terms. And if you're not careful, slippery talk has got you on a slippery slope. And I'm here to tell you, young people especially, but I know some of the stuff y'all listen to, regardless of age, it's not good teaching sometimes. There's slick talking people all over social medias. But I'm here to tell you, one, if their teaching diminishes the authority of the Bible at all, throw it out. Throw it out. I don't care how slick they make it sound, that the Bible's still a good book, the Bible's still worthwhile, you should read it for some inspiration. If anyone's teaching doesn't call you to submit to the Bible, throw it out. If you want to follow Christ, I'm here to tell you that's another religion. Anyone that diminishes the power and authority of the Bible, it's not Christianity, it's something else. Secondly, we've got to pray consistently. Not just on a Sunday, but we have to pray and fast consistently. And when we do pray and fast, we have to follow what Isaiah 58 calls us. On those days where we pray and fast, we can't be out just snipping, yelling at people, treating people poorly, especially more than anything on that day, be giving of yourself. Find a way to serve, show love, love your neighbor as yourself on those days. When we pray and when we fast, it should align with the ways God has called us to. Say, God, today, especially of all days, use me to show your love to other people. The third thing that we've got to do is we've got to be people who worship throughout the week. We've got to worship throughout the week. Worship is so powerful because when worship is done correctly, it will always take the attention off of ourselves and put it on God. It will always take the attention off ourselves and put it on God. That sounds like something we need every single day. Every day we need to worship. Turn on your favorite, maybe hymns. You love hymns. Turn on some hymns and put your attention back on God and not yourself. Ask God, God, give of me to others. Use my life for your honor and your glory. And the last thing is, I am going to challenge you, fast this year. Pick a day, skip a meal, join in with us. If you want to sign up, email me. Just tell me the day of the week. I'm taking this day, I'm going to pray and fast. And when you do, give of yourself. Give of yourself to serve others. Love your neighbor as yourself. Pray for other churches to see revival, that they'll see salvations and baptisms and people dedicate their life and miracles to happen. Pray that for our church and for our nation and this world. Pray that Isaiah 58 comes to pass before our very eyes. We look around at a world that we thought, surely there's no hope, and it becomes bright as the noonday. Look around at places where we thought, man, the walls have crumbled. There's no rebuilding back here, and we see walls rebuilt. We see homes restored by the power of God. So I'm here to challenge you, set the tone this year. Set the tone. Are you willing to tell God today, God, I'm willing to take on inconvenience. I'm willing to sacrifice. God, please move in and through me to align myself with your ways and not my ways. If there's anything religious in me where I want to be applauded or seen for myself, remove it, God. And use me for your honor and your glory in this day. So as we close out in prayer, I'm going to ask for you to stand. If you're physically able, there's nothing powerful about standing, but we're about to worship. Stand if you want to. If you want to stay seated and pray, it doesn't matter to me. It'll be just as powerful. We're about to enter in a time where now I'm done talking. It's time for you and God to have this moment. You probably already have been having this moment. Some of you, you haven't heard anything I've said because God's trying to speak to you, and I promise you that's way more important than anything I got to say. Whatever God's saying to you, whatever he's leading, I implore you, align yourself with what he's leading. So God, help us be people who set the tone. Then we see darkness, it doesn't intimidate, it doesn't rob us of our faith. We just see darkness as a place where it's time for it to be bright as the noonday. God, we don't see inconvenience or sacrifice anymore. We see opportunities to let your love move in and through us, to draw people to you, that will look at society and see it as your creation that you tried to build a bridge to call people from death to life spiritually. Use us. Send us forth. Help us to be light to darkness. God, we ask you to move. Give us the strength and courage to consistently pray, fast, worship, and be in your word, God. Give us that strength, Holy Spirit, that this is the year that we excel like never before to consistently align ourselves with you, God. Let us exchange the ways of our flesh for your ways. Let us set the tone that we will follow the ways of God at all costs. Help our flesh not drag us away to selfishness. May Holy Spirit lead us to selflessness. Do what only you can do, God. We trust you. In your name we pray. Amen.